Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. Well, we're in our creed. Let's pray as we start, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, our Saviour Jesus. And we pray, Father, as we look at his sacrifice, that you would speak to our hearts and help us to be humble and turn to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, so far in our Apostles' Creed, we've looked at I believe in God, I believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, his sovereignty. The sovereign God, I believe in Jesus, his only Son, our Lord. So the identity of Jesus as God's Son. And today in the Apostles' Creed, we're looking at he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended to the dead. We know it well, don't we? And our Nicene Creed equivalent, for our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate, suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. So Jesus' sacrifice. The cross and its significance for us as humans, that for our sake bit in the creed, is huge. It's multifaceted. It's like looking at a diamond, a beautiful diamond, and seeing the light strike it from one side, and then turning it round and looking from the other side and seeing a completely different light pattern. Same diamond, different view. And the cross of Christ and its wonderful effect for us is like that. We could look at it from all sorts of angles. Redemption, salvation, justification, all sorts. But what we'll try and do this morning is we'll try to keep it simple and keep focused on the Apostles' Creed. It's a clear, straight statement of what matters. But if you want to go deeper, you want to dig a bit, there is a marvellous book called The Cross of Christ by John Stott, which deals with all those facets thoroughly and accessibly. But it's a little bit thick. But it's a wonderful book. It's a great read. Right at the start, it's worth reminding ourselves that the creed hasn't been cobbled together over the centuries. It was put together by early Christians in its oldest form, going back to AD, round about 140. And it's the nuts and bolts of Christianity. It's not based on opinion. It's not somebody else's ideas. It's based on Jesus' teaching about himself, the apostles' teaching, and all of Scripture. How God has revealed himself to us as humans. And our first point is that Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. That crucifixion, his suffering, is pinpointed in the history of our world. An event in our time and space. And no serious historian would dispute that fact. So it's not some myth, as some would have us believe. What's rather worrying is in a recent survey done in 2015 in England, revealed that 40% of people did not know that Jesus was a real person. its history. Our Nicene Creed, the one we say, each communion service says, for our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. So this statement tells us the purpose of his death, for our sake. So what's that all about? Why do Christians keep going on about Jesus' death? Why is the cross the symbol of what we believe? Why is it so important? Well, who killed Jesus? Well, those responsible were Judas, who betrayed Jesus, the priest who set up this sham trial, Pilate, who was spineless, and the hardened soldiers, who were totally brutal. That's the chain of responsibility, isn't it? But that's not the whole picture. Because of course they did it. But actually, if he died for our sake, then we had a part in that death too. It's interesting what the gospel writers say, what Jesus says, and what the apostles say is exactly that Jesus went to the cross voluntarily for our sake. It was no accident. It was no martyrdom. It was Jesus' choice. He went there willingly for our sake. He identified with us as sinners. When he was baptized, that was his identification, and he refused to be deflected. Refused to be deflected from the way of the cross, which he repeatedly predicted. Many times in Scripture, in the Gospels, 3 times in Mark. Listen, they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them, and they were amazed. And those who followed were afraid. They knew what awaited Jesus in Jerusalem, and likely them. He took the 12 aside again and began to tell them what was going to happen to him, saying, see, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and they will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit upon him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise again. And the apostles recognize this in their letters. Paul in Romans, he who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for us all. And so on. So it was not Judas for money, not the priest because of envy, not Pilate because of fear, but the Father for love. For our sake, as the Creed puts it. And the cross of Christ and his death is utterly central. Central to Jesus himself. Central to the apostles. Central for the worldwide church ever since. From day one, the apostles proclaim Christ crucified. The way Jesus died was the result of human wickedness, but due to the set purpose of God himself, totally accepted by Christ, who willingly gave himself up to death. So as we face Christ's cross, we have to say, yes, they did it, but also I did it, my sin sent him there, but that he did it. His love took him there. Listen to Peter on the day of Pentecost. This man, Jesus, handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. definite plan and foreknowledge of God. And what did Jesus want to be remembered for above all else? As a good teacher? For his miracles? For his wise words? For his moral code? For his example? No, it was his death, which above all else he wanted to be remembered. That's why he instituted the Last Supper. Take, eat, this is my body. Drink, this is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. That's why he told us to do that. That's why we have communion, to do this in remembrance of him. It was his death he wanted to be remembered by. If the cross is not central to us, then our faith is not faith in Jesus Christ. That's what the Apostles' Creed recognizes. And we must not deflect from the core of what matters. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, was buried, descended to the dead. All of Scripture points to Jesus, seeing his death as a sacrifice, as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That Passover lamb, Jesus freely giving himself to the agony of the cross in order that you and I can be forgiven and restored to God, have our sins forgiven. Do you know that? Do you know that for yourself personally? And so Jesus speaks of himself as that actual sacrifice, the one provided by the Lord himself, according to that definite plan and foreknowledge, to take away the sins of the world. The Lord himself come to rescue his people. Jesus, that Passover lamb, that sacrifice, of which the lamb in Exodus is a foreshadowing of Christ. If you don't understand anything else, understand that, says the Apostles' Creed, for our sake. And what do we say to people when we perhaps get the opportunity to talk about our faith in Jesus? Or they ask us what we think. Is it Jesus' death we talk about? Do we mention his death as a top priority? Because that's what is of most importance. So Jesus' sacrifice was physical, of course, yes. He was nailed to a cross. It was a sacrifice, yes, for our sins, and we need to respond to that. But Apostles' Creed says, and he descended to the dead. Jesus died. He wasn't in a coma and revived. He was dead. He was buried without equivocation. But in his death, he experienced the horror of that separation from his Father, God. And in the 1662 prayer book, Apostles' Creed, it says he descended into hell. He effectively suffered hell, not just physically, that was bad enough, but spiritually too, that separation. He went to hell for us, for you and for me. Perhaps hell being thought of as a place may not be helpful here, but nonetheless, hell is a reality. It's the absolute exclusion from the light of God's presence. Mirrored in that darkness which came as Christ was crucified. That shout of dereliction, my God, why have you forsaken me? Prophesied in that psalm that we all read together. That separation was very real and was hell for Jesus. And he went there for you and for me, for our sake, so that we can be forgiven and we don't have to go there ourselves. That's good news, isn't it? The cross of Christ is utterly mind-blowing. And we've really just scratched the surface this morning in all that's achieved for us at the cross. So Christ was sacrificed for our sins once and for all, so that we can be forgiven. That Passover lamb. But listen, what happened to the Passover lamb once it had been sacrificed? It was cooked and eaten. Remember Christ. He calls us to eat the bread and drink the wine. Eat and drink him. The sacrifice for our sins. You ask many folk why Jesus died, and perhaps they say, well, for our sins. And yes, of course, that's perfectly true. But that wonderful benefit has to be taken in and absorbed personally. Eaten, if you like. Otherwise, it's only an outward sign. Rather than what's going on inward, a reality. So the Last Supper is not some sort of remember me, sentimental kind of thing. It's a call for us to take Jesus to heart. In. Have you? Have you done that? Do you recognize that your greatest need is forgiveness? And being reconciled to God. Paul says, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin. Listen to this. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Have you experienced that complete forgiveness and liberation that Jesus gives by sacrifice on the cross? If not, it would be a good thing to turn to him today. The Apostles' Creed spells out what matters. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried, and descended to the dead. Let's pray. Oh Lord Jesus, we do thank you for your sacrifice for us upon the cross. We thank you for the wonderful benefits that we have. Freedom from sin and death. That spiritual death too. That you went there in my place. Oh, Father, we pray that we might absorb this into our very hearts and seek you today. Father, thank you for your gracious, loving purposes for us. In Jesus' name, amen.